Are you drowning in debt? Are you struggling to make minimum payments? Did you know that on average, a household with at least one credit card struggles with over $15,000 in credit card debt? If this sounds like you, know that it's not your fault. Credit card debt happens to good people. Credit card companies lure you in with low introductory rates and low minimum payments. Before you know it, you're in over your head. National Debt Relief has helped thousands of good people just like you become debt-free with our Debt Reset Program that will dramatically reduce your debt down to a fraction of what you owe. Our Debt Reset Program is customized to get you debt-free in as little as 24 to 48 months with one low monthly payment. If you owe over $10,000 in credit card debt or even personal loans, call 800-213-5082. There are no upfront fees or out-of-pocket expenses. You don't pay a dime until we succeed. Call now to see how the Debt Reset Program can work for you. Call 800-213-5082. That's 800-213-5082. 800-213-5082.
Welcome into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline, the interactive radio network program with the latest in high-tech products and services and the experts who bring them to you. This is Into Tomorrow. Here's Dave Graveline.
You are, in fact, tuned into Tomorrow for the weekend of March 22nd, coming to you from the Dexcom G6 studios. Know before your blood glucose goes high or low with customized alerts and alarms. Visit DEXCOM.com for more. I am Dave Graveline. Erasmo's in the control room. Horatio working with the show out of New York, doing research and handling things and web posts every day, keeping us on top of things. Here in the Miami studio with me,
Chris Graveline.
Why did you do it like that?
I guess I'm going through puberty or something.
Oh, jeez. That was 100 years ago. Mm-hmm. Consider us your weekly technology auditory gem. That's what I'd like to think, anyway.
Or your tech gas X or something.
Yeah.
Your tech gives you gas, we'll be your gas X.
We are your gas X for techs. For tech. Whatever. All 3 hours today, if you can stomach it, we will be bringing you, of course, tech news and commentary and some fun feature ideas and items, as well as, of course, addressing your calls and hopefully solving your digital dilemmas. Because it is what we do, is it not?
It is.
Okay. Well, then let's do it.
Okay.
If you, for some reason, by the way, don't get all 3 hours, we understand sometimes some of our radio station affiliates around the country have other programming commitments. They might only be able to carry the first couple of hours or what have you. Call and bug them to get that third hour on. And you can even tell them I said to call. And then they'll be mad at me and not you, see. But either way, in the event that they're unable to carry the third hour, you can subscribe to our free Into Tomorrow podcasts. We've been doing them since long before they were ever called podcasts. Back in the day, 24 years ago, we were just saying, and we archive our show on the website. So if you have access to the internet, you know, that's the new WWW thing. 24 years ago, then come to our website thing.
And we had them back in that old real audio format. Anybody remember that?
Oh, my gosh. I do. Yeah. I'm surprised with the Mad Cow that I can remember it. But, yeah, real audio format. Erasmo, did you ever do anything with real audio? No. Had its own little logo and everything.
In fact, I went back to one of our old, really old web pages from like 1997 or 8 the other day, and I was trying to play an old archive, and it was only in real audio, and there was nothing that I could find to play it, really.
Nothing currently will even play a real audio file? Yeah. Oh, that's a shame. So you can't reminisce completely.
Yeah.
But anyway, the point being is that we don't charge you like other shows that consider themselves tech shows. They want to charge you for their podcasts. What are they, nuts? It's radio. It's free. Don't pay for satellite or podcast or other nonsense. Just get our podcast for free, and then you'll never miss a minute of all 3 hours each and every week.
We just ask that if you're so inclined, you visit some of our sponsors, because they're the ones that keep it free for you.
Now, that's a good point. What do you mean, if you're so inclined? Of course you are. Our audience is smart and tech-savvy. And they'll, of course, visit our sponsors. But that brings up the important point. Click on a link on our site. Do, you know, respond to an ad that you hear on the program, what have you. But at least know that you can hear the show and not miss a minute of it. And participating. Oh, my gosh, that's critical. If you've never, ever, ever called the show yet, oh, my gosh, do me a favor, won't you? Warm the cockles of my heart. by dialing the following phone number. Here, I've got a pen. You can make a note when Chris gives you the number. And call us anytime. Store it in your phone. That would be awesome. We don't expect we're going to be number one, two, or three, but maybe number 10. You know, put us in your top 10 at least. You know, Dave and the team. Yeah.
That number is 800-899-INTO, which is 800-899-4686.
There you go. And it's easy to get a hold of us 24/7 anytime. Join us on the next broadcast. You don't have to wait till the next show to call in. Call in anytime during the week. And we'll address your issues on that very next show.
So Disney has finally closed the deal it's been working on for the better part of a year.
More, you know, more to their goal to becoming the world dominant program provider.
Yeah, when everything's done, it'll be basically Disney and Comcast or Concast.
Yeah, with everything. And you want any kind of content, you're going to pay the Disney gods or the Comcast gods.
Well, supposedly after this acquisition, Disney now has a 40% market share of that whole side of the business.
Oh, geez.
But they now own 21st Century Fox, including the company's entire movie studio division.
Right.
The Fox Television Group, which is the production studio, not the network. That's still part of the spinoff company that includes Fox News, Fox Business, and their sports.
Right, because they already own ABC
right.
Network. So that wouldn't have gone over well if they also owned the Fox Network. And unlike a lot of posts that we've seen, no, they did not get Fox News in that batch, nor did they get the Fox Television stations around the country. No. It's not part of the Disney deal.
Right. But, you know, they now have Deadpool, which it's interesting to see what Disney will do to Deadpool.
I hope they don't kill it altogether. You know, put it in one of their less kid-friendly divisions. If you guys have seen Deadpool, a couple of movies have been two now, I think, right?
Yeah.
Then you know why I'm saying that. Very funny. I mean, just slapstick, goofy, funny in many cases. But for an adult, funny. Not for don't take the kids to a Deadpool movie. Yeah. It's not meant for the kids. But a superhero who really says what he means and stuff, I just Ryan Reynolds, right?
Ryan Reynolds is
the Deadpool superhero. And it's just meant it's adult humor.
Yes, but what was included in that deal was Fox's 30% stake in Hulu. Now, Disney already had a 30% stake in Hulu, which means Disney now has a 60% stake in Hulu.
So they're going to control everything.
They own a controlling stake now in Hulu.
Oh.
And as a Hulu with live TV subscriber, I'm just waiting for my prices that just went up to go up again because now Disney's got to pay for it somehow.
And if the prices don't go up right away, you can watch all the channels that you like disappearing. And all the Disney-related channels showing up, which is great every other weekend when you have Cam, but otherwise useless.
Right. But you know what's up in the air now, too, is because Disney recently announced their own streaming service. So now they're going to have their own streaming service. They own a controlling interest in Hulu, which also has a streaming service. So I don't know. Maybe we'll see some cross-pollination of the two or something. I don't know. We'll see.
It'll have something to do with bee stinging.
Yeah. I mean, you know, in my opinion, they might take some of the X-Men and that universe because they tend to be more of the adult, as you were, you know, superheroes, so maybe those we'll find all on Hulu, and then their Disney streaming service will be their family-friendly programming.
That could be. Or they will just kill Hulu altogether because they have a controlling interest now.
Yeah, but
they and then make you pay double for their streaming service.
Yeah, but Hulu has like 25 million subscribers in the U.S., so
they'll move everybody over.
What a lot of people are saying is that they might be taking Hulu now global.
Oh. Wow, yeah, that's true. Well, Disney is global, so they could do that. But then why would they still do their own separate streaming unless, as you speculate, it's for the kid stuff?
It's another way to make money.
Because, boy, if there is one company on this planet that doesn't make enough money, it's Disney. And, again, the prices. My gosh, they're even exorbitant prices now to park a car. Yeah. While many device makers are creating foldable phones, few of those phones, of course, will be available in the U.S. in the beginning, except maybe for Samsung's Galaxy Fold, of course. We've talked about that a lot. And as The Verge reports, trade restrictions in China complicate the availability of new phones, as many of the most innovative designs come from companies there, including, of course, Huawei and their Mate foldable phone and things like that, and ZTE, these Chinese companies that were being told, oh, don't buy their stuff. They're going to be spying on you, as if there's any privacy anyway.
Everybody spies on you.
Yeah. Yeah, your exes. I mean, whatever. Everybody spies on you. It's just the kind of the way it works. And I may be in China again in a couple of weeks. Did you tell Erasmo? We have to work on that show, too. Yeah. The site. Expo the Chinese Information Technology Expo. We'll see. If I can't get out of it, I'll be there, but we'll send back some reports and see what's going on in that part of the world coming up in 2-3 weeks. So stay tuned.
Well, speaking of spying on you and speaking of Disney, we're all familiar with movie posters. They've been around as long as movies have. Well, even they are getting high-tech these days. So picture this. You're at the movie theater. Your significant other has gotten on your nerves and you're really ticked off. So you might see an angry Dumbo in a poster for Disney's upcoming movie.
An angry Dumbo?
Yes. But if you were in a good mood, you'd see a happy Dumbo.
Oh.
That's the idea behind an interactive poster that supposedly reads emotions and promotes the movie based on how you're feeling.
Oh, jeez.
It's a concept developed by Walt Disney Studios and its partner Accenture Interactive. The interactive poster, which debuted during the South by Southwest Festival, uses facial recognition software. Patrick Kennedy from Accenture Interactive said that it reads what emotion you're showing, then responds with scenes from the movie that reflect the emotion that you're portraying. Disney and Accenture have refused to say how much the posters cost or where or when they'll be available.
And, of course, it's only for one person at a time. So what, your whole family walks up and maybe somebody's happy, somebody's sad, somebody couldn't care less. Then what does it do?
We'll see.
But that's appropriate. You mentioned one of my exes and Dumbo. There you go. That explains everything.
Yeah.
But, wow. I mean, that's kind of cool, but I don't see any real practicality. Unless you're one person who goes to the movie alone, I'm so sorry. I just refuse to do that. But you approach the poster by yourself, nobody else behind you, where it's going to try to do facial recognition or read your expressions otherwise, and then try to see if you can't fake out the Dumbo poster. Do they say where they're even trying this yet?
They haven't announced yet. They debuted at the South by Southwest Festival, basically saying, here, we can do this, but they haven't said when or where they're going to actually
Another
do it.
One of those, just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Well, and it's also further proof that most of this technology always finds its way into advertising and trying to sell you stuff, and that's what's behind everything.
That's true. It's all about marketing. Many reports indicate that Comcast is considering entering the gaming market as the company is in talks with Korea-based gaming company Nexon, developer of popular role-playing game Maple Story. Have you heard of that one?
No.
Me either. You could tell we're not gamers. Of course, Comcast will face some stiff competition as both Amazon and Electronic Arts are also reportedly bidding for that company. And speaking of gaming, Xbox Live will soon be available on Android and iOS devices. Woohoo!
Goody.
Yeah. I guess we should be excited.
Yeah.
That will allow users to transfer player information to their smartphones. While there's been speculation that the service will also come to Switch and PlayStation 4 consoles, a Microsoft official declined to share any details on such an arrangement. But stay tuned, because even though Chris and I aren't into gaming, we still try to let you know what's happening in the world of gaming.
I am learning a lot about gaming every time my son's at my house, because I spend the entire weekend watching Amazon Prime videos of some guy playing video games.
Yeah, it's so sad. And he gets the biggest kick out of watching somebody else on video play a video game. I don't get it. I don't like watching somebody play a game next to me, or even playing the game myself. Just that's us, but other people find that fascinating. And you look at the views, and there's millions of views. It's like, really? I mean, is that much interest in watching someone else play a game? Now, if you're getting tips or hints or how to play the game, and then you go play it, that's different, I think. Maybe it's helpful.
And the sad part is these people that are playing the video games get so many hits and stuff on YouTube that they're making fortunes.
Yeah, of course, because they're building in some ads and whatnot. Ay-ay-ay.
A new warning from NASA. If you have herpes and go into space, you can expect a flare-up. It is believed that the stresses on the body due to things like extreme G-forces during takeoff and landing, as well as microgravity and cosmic radiation, weaken the immune system.
Whoa.
They have been seeing in astronauts that the dormant viruses that cause things like herpes and chickenpox can awaken during and after space missions. 53% of astronauts on short space shuttle flights and 61% on longer space station missions have seen these viruses reactivate.
Whoa.
Evidence of infectious chickenpox and shingles were still apparent in body fluids up to 30 days after the astronauts returned to Earth.
Now, that's weird. Now, that's something that apparently they hadn't studied before.
And the fact that they're saying that you can be infectious with chickenpox and shingles for 30 days after you get back from space.
So, oh, nice.
Yeah. So stay away from the astronauts.
Oh, gee. Oh, my gosh. That's pretty bizarre and sad. Or now I wonder, though, if they can have some sort of vaccination, some vaccine that we wouldn't be taking on Earth. But if you're a potential astronaut or about to go into space, if there's something to counteract it to keep those viruses dormant.
I mean, you know, and they're saying that it's similar to what reactivates them on Earth. It's extreme stress situations. I'm sure you can relate with your shingles flare up was, you know, probably during a lot of business stress or whatever. But
I usually give stress. I don't have it. But
trust me, we know.
I beg your pardon.
I'm surprised I haven't come out with shingles yet.
I got to work harder at stressing you.
But apparently just going into space causes the body to have stress without you, you know, mentally being stressed. So it does the same thing.
Interesting. Barbara in Shelbyville, Tennessee, listens on WTN 99.7 FM. Hello, Barbara.
Hey, Dave. I hope you can help me out here. I live out in the country. I do not have any Wi-Fi or internet at my house, but my smartphone, I have an Android smartphone, and I do get the 3G signal once in a while, but most of the time it'll have a little 1X in that corner. But I wondered, I don't know what the difference is between a booster or an amplifier. I didn't know if that WeBoost Drive Sleek might help me if I'm able to install that in my vehicle. Maybe it would help me get a signal that I can have 3G on my phone or possibly 4G on my phone. I thought maybe I can ask you that question and you can help me out. And for your information, Penny, get your own Wi-Fi is what Sheldon says all the time on the Big Bang Theory. So that's the person that used that as their Wi-Fi was, I guess, a Big Bang Theory fan. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And you know what? Good point, because I'm a Big Bang Theory fan. Last season, I'm already upset. But Barbara, if you do get a 3G signal every once in a while, that Drive Sleek may, in fact, help you get a signal by using a larger antenna to catch that elusive signal that your phone can sometimes get. The WeBoost Home version of that, something like the WeBoost Home 4G, can also help you get better service at home. Their home device usually features a large antenna and an indoor device that works a little bit like a Wi-Fi router does. That indoor device takes the signal from the antenna and repeats it, so your phone can, of course, use it without any extra equipment attached to it. It's not like you have to walk around the house with a cable connected to that antenna. It's a repeater.
Yeah, and the main thing here is that you can get some kind of signal sometimes, and that means the signal is there. If it happens to be strong enough, the proper device might be able to help amplify and repeat it. Now, don't get your hopes up before you test, though. The fact that you can't always get a signal outside means that this really could go either way.
Yeah. And I tell you what we'll do, Barbara, since you called into the program, and that's what we strive for, to have you call in and win stuff. And since Chris managed to dig deep into our prize closet, he located a couple of the WeBoost Drive Sleeks. How about that? So we're going to put one aside for you. In fact, I'm looking at it as we speak. Chris literally pulled it out of the prize closet, put a stickum on it, and said, that's for Barbara. And we're going to send one to you. So make sure that you click the link in the message that you're going to get from our prize closet team. That way we have all your correct information. And then we'll send this out to you. Hopefully it will work, and you'll let us know if it does, won't you? Or even if it doesn't, because we want whatever feedback you can provide.
Yes. I mean, if it works, we've been able to help you out. If it doesn't work, then at least you're not out the $300 or $400 that this device costs.
Yeah, because it's a pretty expensive one. So we're going to see what happens. All right, Barbara, deal? I can hear her saying to the radio, yes, Dave, deal. And thank you, Chris. Yeah, I heard it. Intotomorrow.com.
OWC, your source for connectivity, offers a wide variety of USB-C and Thunderbolt 3 docks to help you connect to your world. Ranging from travel docks with HDMI, USB 3, SD ports, and USB-C power pass-through while on the road, to desktop docks providing power to charge your laptop, and 14 ports to connect your monitors, external drives, headphones, wired Ethernet, and other devices using a single cable. See all the OWC products at owc.com/into.
Here's another Into Tomorrow tech tidbit for you. There are now more people with smartphones in the world than working toilets.
That's sad.
It is sad. Wow. Never would have thunk that. But there you go. We strive to provide some tech tidbits throughout the show every week now. And there's one that's sadly fascinating.
Some useless bar trivia.
Yeah. Whereas, you see, to me, they go along. They go together. Because whenever I'm on the toilet, I got my phone. Don't drop it in, but that's a whole other story.
Anyway, stay tuned. In a couple of minutes, Dave will be chatting with Allison Flicker. She's with Amazon's STEM program, talking about their future engineer program providing computer science courses across the country. And, of course, this portion of Into Tomorrow is brought to you by OWC, your source for connecting your laptop to the world. Special Into Tomorrow products and pricing at owc.com/into. That's owc.com/into.
Yes, indeed.
Jump aboard the time machine.
You got mail.
Time to head into yesterday with This Week in Tech History.
History.
Go for it.
Here's Chris.
This week in 1797, Nathaniel Briggs of New Hampshire patented an early form of washing machine for clothes called the Bucks Mangler. In 1857, Elisha Otis installed his first elevator for people at 488 Broadway in New York City. In 1954, RCA began commercial production of TV sets that were equipped to receive programs in color. And this week in 2001, the Russian Mir space station fell through the atmosphere into the Pacific Ocean near Fiji. That's our look back at This Week in Tech History, brought to you by IFA in Berlin. Visit ifa-berlin.com.
The national debt is now over $20 trillion. What's next? Rising inflation, drops in the dollar's value, some experts say another crash is coming. What will be left of your investments for your children and grandchildren? We know you can fight this, not with stocks or bonds, but with gold and silver coins and an IRA from Augusta Precious Metals. During periods of great volatility, precious metals regularly outperform stocks because they're a true wealth asset that have real value. During the three-year recovery period after the crash of 08, the Dow only went up 3.5%, while gold more than doubled in price. Call 855-662 6533 and learn how an IRA backed by physical gold and silver can hedge against inflation and build a true legacy for your family. Regain control of your financial destiny and call Augusta Precious Metals at 855-662-6533. That's 855-662-6533. As in any investment, the price of gold and silver may fluctuate over time and you could lose money. Check with financial and legal advisors.
Welcome back into Tomorrow. I'm Dave Graveline. For 24 years now, bringing you the latest in consumer tech, products and services, gadgets and gizmos, all kinds of cool things available today and into tomorrow. And we would love your participation. You've got a question, a comment, a concern. Maybe you hear something with one of our guest interviews or otherwise, and you'd like more info. We want to hear from you. 800-899-4686. Anytime, day or night, 24/7, when it's convenient for you. Call us at 800-899-INTO. Join us on the program. Many of our guests and sponsors and other friends of the show are always sending us great goodies to share with you. And when you participate, you win stuff. It's that easy. Joining us now from a multi-international technology company focused in e-commerce, cloud computing, and artificial intelligence, from an Amazon STEM ambassador, is Allison Flicker. Allison, welcome into Tomorrow. How are you?
Thank you for having me. I am great. I'm happy to be here. I feel like what I have to talk to you about is very much looking into tomorrow.
I love it. And I love a guest that picks up on the show name because that's exactly how we do what we do. And you guys with doing some really cool stuff for future engineers. And we talk about what is a STEM ambassador? Tell me about that.
Well, really, the role I'm serving today is just telling you a little bit more about this Amazon Future Engineer Program, which we are really excited about. We launched in November, so we're still kind of new into this program, but what we're doing with Amazon Future Engineer is focusing on increasing access to computer science education for more than 10 million students across the country each year. And I should mention, too, this really fits into Amazon's vision and focus right now of really trying to make sure that more students and young adults have the resources and skills they need to build their best future looking forward. And we think this computer science education, this access to coding and knowing how this works, is an important piece of that.
Oh, absolutely. And kudos to you guys for helping out and jumping on this, because we're getting info about something like almost 1.5 million computer science related jobs will be available by next year, but only 400,000 computer science graduates with the skills to apply for those jobs will be available. Boy, if that isn't opening up a market for people to go, man, I need to pay attention. I could be in on this.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's a huge demand for these types of skills and for students to understand this right now. There's also a lot of research that shows when students are exposed to computer science and coding earlier on in their academic career, they're more likely to pursue it down the road, whether that be in college or for a career. So what we're doing with Amazon Future Engineer is really taking this kind of long-term look at a student's academic career and figuring out the best ways to bring computer science to them, whether that be in their K-8 experience or high school, college, and beyond. And that's what we're really trying to do with our program. And something else I'll mention, too, in terms of increasing this access, right now we're really laser-focused with this program on students from underrepresented, underserved, and underprivileged communities. So really making sure kids who maybe don't even realize this is out there, they haven't been exposed to it yet, they don't even know it could lead to a really exciting and rewarding job someday, making sure those kids are getting this education.
And that's awesome. And again, to make sure that they all have the same ability is terrific. You know, it's like you certainly want to show an interest and look at all the job opportunities that will be available as early as next year, even, and not nearly enough people to fill those jobs. That gets the right attention. And from a science and technology, engineering and math standpoint, we want to get more and more people involved. And as you say, in coding and realizing this is very, very cool for them. It's very easy for them to learn these things and then absolutely have a very successful career.
Absolutely. And we really want to make sure Amazon Future Engineer is all about access for all. So that's kind of the group of students we're focusing right now. We're seeing a lot of Title I schools apply for this program, schools that are working on making sure more young women and student underrepresented minority students are learning about computer science, because we see a lack of these groups of students pursuing this career down the road. And I want to mention, too, whether the students that are part of our Amazon Future Engineer program someday go into computer science or they work in tech or work for a company like Amazon or another tech company, that's all great, because we think Amazon is a great place to work and affords a lot of really awesome and exciting opportunities. It would be a really rewarding career. But for our program, it's really just making sure we increase this access, giving more kids the opportunity to decide if it's something they like. And if they want to go into something that's totally different, it is important for them to have this basic understanding of coding and computer science, because it is becoming so prevalent in so many different industries and jobs across the country. So whether they pursue this or not, we just think it's a really great basic skill to have.
Yeah, very good point. And hopefully more and more kids be interested, will become interested, are currently interested, and realize that this is a great stepping stone for them and a good opportunity. I think you mentioned that there's about 1,000 high schools all around the country that are currently participating. What about others that might be listening and saying, well, this sounds great. How do we jump on board? How does any other school get involved?
Yes, we do have about 1,000 high schools across the country currently signed up for the Amazon Future Engineer High School piece of our program, but we're looking to add about 1,000 more. So there's a lot of opportunity for high schools if they feel like they might be a good fit for this program, if they're serving students who otherwise don't have this access. We would encourage them to apply on our website, AmazonFutureEngineer.com. And for the high school piece of the program, if a school does get into the program and starts to use it, what the teacher will get is a lot of online support, training materials, and also professional development materials to make sure that they feel comfortable teaching a course like this, even if they've never taught this before. Maybe they're a math teacher or a science teacher, and they've just never tried computer science, but they have this opportunity now. Through the program, Amazon is funding intro and AP computer science courses in high schools. And this is funded through a curriculum provider called Adhesive. So that's what's providing all of these teachers this online support. And Adhesive, of course, also provides the online curriculum for the students, both the teachers and the students get online support for the program, so really both are comfortable, both will feel like they can have a successful experience with this class. Mm-hmm. And again, this high school piece is just one part of the Amazon Future Engineer program.
And that's good, because I know a lot of folks listening are thinking, well, that sounds great, but who's funding this? And now you make that comfortable as well, where folks realize they've got some very appropriate support. I'm sure Amazon is heavily involved as well. What about scholarships or internships, for that matter? Are those kinds of things part of the program?
Absolutely. And let me just backtrack for a second, just to be clear about the high school piece of the program.
Uh-huh.
Amazon is funding these courses, and
okay.
We are funding the curriculum through the program Adhesive. Adhesive are experts at this type of curriculum, so Amazon is funding these courses,
excellent.
To make that clear.
Okay.
That can be a little bit confusing. But to your question, yes, we also have scholarships and internships that are part of this program, and I'm really excited because in the next couple of weeks we'll actually announce our first 100 Amazon Future Engineer Scholarship winners. And those 100 students will each receive $10,000 per year to study computer science at a four-year college and university, and they will receive a guaranteed paid internship offer to come intern at Amazon
nice.
The summer after their freshman year. So that's another piece of our program that is really unique, this pairing of the scholarship with the internship. We think this is really helpful for kind of this long-term approach of keeping kids interested in computer science. And I'll mention, too, if you kind of look before the high school piece of the program, the one other big piece of Amazon Future Engineer is our focus on K through 8, students in kindergarten through 8th grade. And at this point, we're not trying to create expert coders, if you will. This is kind of the inspiration phase. We're funding after-school programs and coding camps for younger kids just to get a taste of this, to see if it's something that maybe they want to pursue in high school.
And that's good because, yes, at a younger age, and most of the younger kids, I mean, I've got a six-year-old grandson who's loving learning about coding, and he's bragging about telling us this because he's coding and making his own game, which, of course, in his mentality, that's more fun for him. Well, hey, whatever it takes, you know, to get him more interested in being on his laptop is terrific. You know, it's not just about gaming, and he gets that, but he's learning about the inside of the computer and what a processor does. And at six, he's already showing interest. So to be involved from kindergarten through eighth grade with those younger ages, and if they have the aptitude and the desire and continued interest, man, this is certainly an opportunity for them to perhaps become an Amazon Future Engineer as well.
Absolutely. And I think you hit the nail on the head, too. For the younger kids, a lot of these programs that we're working on and funding are through programs like Code.org and Coding with Kids, which do really make coding and computer science feel really fun. They're really fun games
yeah.
and activities. And then, of course, not to say it's not fun in high school, because it definitely is, but it gets just a little more tactical. Students are seeing more real-life applications with what you can do with a really deep understanding of computer science. But, yeah, these fun things for the younger kids just give them a taste of, hey, this is what this is. Maybe I want to try this in high school. It's something I liked when I was a kid, and there's a lot of research that shows that this early exposure to this type of education will encourage kids to stick with this as they move on through their careers.
Sure, and it makes sense to be very age-appropriate, and we don't want kids or parents to think, oh my gosh, coding, that sounds confusing, that sounds complicated. No, not at all, especially when they show an interest in learning about these things, and whether it's because they want to design their own game, which is a good way to start if that's what their interest lies, terrific, or just, you know, I want to do something different, or maybe I want to create a program to do some repetitive task that I do regularly at home that I want to make it easier, or whatever the point is, they're interested, and they know they can do this. Well, learn more about it and do even more.
Exactly.
Loving it. More information, of course, at AmazonFutureEngineer.com. I know it's a long URL, but just type it out. It's easy. And we'll link you there, too. AmazonFutureEngineer.com. And, of course, visit intotomorrow.com. We'll get you there just a mouse click away. Allison Flicker, Amazon STEM Ambassador with Amazon. Good luck with the program. I can't wait to hear in the next couple of weeks the announcement that you're talking about with these students. And let us stay informed, and we'll continue to spread the word for you.
Thank you. you. Yeah, hopefully some of your viewers, listeners, excuse me, will be applying.
Yeah, well, they might be looking at the radio even as we speak to say, this is awesome. Let me learn more. I love it. Thank you, Allison. I'm Dave Graveline. Thanks. Into Tomorrow continues right here on the Advanced Media Network.
What if people with type 1 diabetes had the power to manage their condition without finger sticks? To always know their glucose levels and where they're heading with just a glance at their smart device? To customize alerts and alarms to help keep them in range? All this knowledge powered by a small wearable. Introducing the Dexcom G6. Make knowledge your superpower. For a list of compatible smart devices, visit dexcom.com/compatibility. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G6 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions.
Welcome back into Tomorrow. I'm Dave Graveline. The average adult in the U.S. spends roughly 8.5 hours a day looking at screens. Now, that's the average 8.5 hours a day.
Well, you spend probably 28.5 hours a day looking at a screen.
I do. Various and sundry screens. Mostly my main computer screen. But, yeah, that happens. That's pretty wild. Erasmo's in the control room. Who are you again?
Chris Graveline.
You got something to sell us?
Yes. This portion of Into Tomorrow brought to you in part by HughesNet, high-speed satellite internet available where you live or work. Text the word radio to 35,000 for more info. Again, text the word radio to 35,000.
One of the things we did on the show last week, which got a lot of response, and some of you calling in with your clever, funny Wi-Fi names for your router, or even your neighbors. You know, have you looked lately, like, just pull down the Wi-Fi thing on your phone or your laptop or desktop and just see what other Wi-Fi networks there are around you. Or especially if you're out and about, maybe a coffee shop, and you want to see what Wi-Fi network's available, or in a hotel, whatever, wherever. And there's always some funny names, clever names, unique things, some rude, some obnoxious, some you don't want the kids to see, what have you. So we've been compiling a few that we run across, and we want to know, what are some of the ones that you have seen? Or you yourself have named your router something funny? If you have, let us know. I mean, call in, even if that's all you tell us. Hey, my Wi-Fi router name is fill in the blank. And we will draw some calls and send some prizes out for that. But call us at 800-899-4686. 800-899-INTO. Some of the ones that I've run across lately that I got a kick out of. LAN of Milk and Honey, so just don't drop the D there, LAN, Local Area Network. Pretty Fly for a Wi-Fi, I like that one. Mm-hmm. Don't Even Try It, now that's a good one. You find that Wi-Fi network, don't even try it. How about this one? Get Your Own Wi-Fi Dummy. I had to change the word dummy for something else that's not arable, but you get the idea, because people put rather rude things on there too. It's my own damn internet. No, it's somebody else's Wi-Fi router name. But it certainly gets your attention. Mm-hmm. And if it's not locked, well, maybe you're sharing it with others.
I've seen several that are like plays on people's names. This one I came across, Vladimir Computin.
For computer. Yeah.
My neighbors suck.
Oh, I like that one. Because you're basically just saying to your neighbors, I don't like you.
Yeah. Which, of course, goes along with the next one I came across. Your dog craps in my yard.
Now, that's good if you have a dog, because maybe it is your dog. But, of course, if you don't have a dog, they're saying, well, that's not meant for you.
Yeah. Stop being a mooch.
Yes.
We can hear you having sex.
Oh. Well, that kind of would make some people maybe take a bit notice. Yeah.
And not a meth lab.
It should be prefaced with, attention officer, not a meth lab.
Which would almost make you think, well, is it really a meth lab?
Yeah, yeah. Why, of all the things that you're not, why that? Interesting. So, wow. How about virus-infected Wi-Fi? Well, that'll make you want to sign on, won't it? For porn use only. Oh, boy. I'm sure somebody's mom is happy about that, right? Here's one that I got scared of when I saw it. Will you marry me?
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And this one, got to be one of my favorites. Perfect for any coffee shop. Buy another cup, you cheapskate. Because don't people typically, if you're out and about, you want to use somebody's Wi-Fi, you go into a coffee shop, right? And you're using their Wi-Fi, but maybe you get a cup of coffee and you sit there and you milk the one cup of coffee for an hour while you do all of your email checking and your web surfing. What are your fun, unusual, unique Wi-Fi names or your neighbors? 800-899-INTO.
We've been fighting the war on drugs for a long time. We answer the phone 24/7, 365 days a year. On a busy night, we answer hundreds of calls. This war on drugs needs our intervention.
Since 2014, Addiction Hope and Helpline has helped people struggling with drugs and alcohol.
When the phone rings, we help people when they need it the most. When we get a caller into treatment, it feels good. It's a blessing.
If you're struggling, drinking, using, and need to get clean, don't suffer alone in silence. Call Addiction Hope and Helpline.
Our people understand, and many are also in recovery. Call for support and strength. You can call for someone who can't or isn't willing. It's an act of love. Together we can help you beat this thing and erase addiction from your vocabulary once and for all.
Call 800-665-6113, 800-665-6113, 800-665-6113.
Do you sometimes feel like Fred Flintstone in the George Jetson world? Well, we at Into Tomorrow are here to help anytime, 24/7, whenever you have any consumer tech question. Or we love it if you want to help another listener. Perhaps you can add to our answers and give some additional suggestions or advice. That's awesome. Whatever the case, let us hear from you. 800-899-INTO. I'm Dave Graveline.
I'm Chris Graveline. This portion of Into Tomorrow is brought to you in part by StreamGuys.com, providing the audio streaming for all 3 hours of Into Tomorrow at our website at IntoTomorrow.com.
Zane in Milford, Delaware, listens on Delaware 105.9 WXDE. Hello, Zane.
All I've got to say is it was about AI, and I think it's spiraling out of control and something that we don't see coming. People think of a doomsday disaster of tornadoes and earthquakes and natural disasters, but this could be a human-made disaster, and no one's taking it seriously. No one's trying to slow the roll. Just because we can do something doesn't mean we should. So I think more younger people need to speak up and try to slow the roll or make some regulations.
I kind of like that. Slow the roll. Well, Zane, our research director, Horatio, had a comment for you. I'll let Chris deliver it.
Yeah, he says, I bet his computer knows he sent this comment. He may be interested and horrified to learn that planes and cars use AI to control life or death components like brakes and rudders. And the makers of his phone know everywhere he's been.
Yeah, true. That's
how their AI knows where and when he's going to go and suggest it. And voice assistant AIs can recognize his voice and speaking patterns, while phones and computers can recognize his face even under a beard and glasses.
Wow. Now, H also added, the creepy world is about to get super scary for Zane. And frankly, Zane, you're right, and the rest of us. In some cases, maybe we should slow the roll. What do you think? Well, do you agree with Zane, or is AI leading you, at least if you're experiencing any artificial intelligence? Is it helpful to you? Your thoughts are most welcome in the number to call anytime, day or night.
800-899-4686. That's 800-899-INTO.
And if you haven't yet visited our site, oh my gosh, what are you waiting for? Yeah, we have one of them web thingies that you can visit anytime. You know, we're on the internet as well. And that would be at intotomorrow.com. Oh, we'll meet you there.